You and me will both be free. You and me will both be free. Maybe time will tell for you and I. So let's wait and see. So we try to do it right. Hello, everybody. Here we are. Good evening. You're listening to KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and 106.7 FM in St. Paul. And my name is Mev, and this is the Lesbian Power Authority. And we just heard from T-Dosh, a song called Sing About Life, which is T-Dosh is a group that's from Australia, and they're one of my favorite groups right now. So I had to play Sing About Life, because this evening we have some very special guests in the studio with us, and I'm with me, I suppose, but we're all here, and I'm very happy to have them with me in the studio this evening. I have written down their names and then very carefully lost a piece of paper. All right, it's under control here. This evening we have members of OLAC with us, the Old Lesbians Organizing for Change, and Vera Martin, who is one of the co-founders of the group, and Arden Eversmeyer and Annalise Stewart is also here in the studio, and this evening we're going to talk about OLAC and the conference that's coming up this week. So welcome, women. How are you?
Just great.
Fine. Yeah, great. Well, maybe when we, I will say your name and let you say hello so that the listeners can associate your name with your voice. So this is Vera.
Hello. I'm so happy to be in Minneapolis.
Great. And Arden?
Hello. Glad to be here.
And Annalise.
Hi, I'm glad to be here also, and I think that the listeners should know that the other two are particularly glad to be here because they're from Arizona and Texas.
Wow.
So and the weather here is so much better.
Oh, amen.
So whoever wants to start, why don't you tell listeners who is OLAC and what do you all do and how you get started? And
OLAC is an organization of old lesbians, and was primarily organized to combat ageism. It got started as a result of two West Coast celebrations of old lesbians, one in 1987, the second one in 1989. During the second celebration, many of them voiced their anxiety about not seeing each other for 2 years. And it took about 2 years to put the second one together. So we thought we should come up with some way to communicate and stay in touch and not let a two-year period of time go by. So our founder, Chevy Healy, went around at this second celebration and got about 60 people to sign on, saying they'd be happy to be a part of a steering committee to make some effort to see that this happened. Out of those 60 people, we had our first meeting scheduled in the latter part of November of 1989, and it was in San Diego, and 16 of those 60 people showed up. And we worked the entire weekend trying to come up with a mission statement and some goals and how we were going to do it, some strategy, how we were going to make this all work out.
Vera, how long have you been with the organization?
I've been with the organization since the very first meeting.
And are you one of the movers and shakers at this point? Or
I wear that label of national coordinator, and that happened because I blinked my eye at the first meeting, and when I looked open again, I was the national coordinator.
So you were nominated, is that it?
Exactly.
Volunteered for the position.
Exactly.
And Arden, you've been with the group for how long?
I came on board in December of 1990.
And
in San Antonio, Texas. They were having one of their steering committee meetings in Texas. And we had there was another Texas, or two other Texas women on steering at that time. And my partner and I were invited. And we went, and that was another case of we blinked our eyes and things started happening. And so now we man or woman the national office in Houston, and we are incorporated in Texas. And so there's a great deal of the business end of the organization that happens down there with us now.
How big is the organization at this point, do you think?
Well, we have on our mailing list about 2,500 labels that we, for our quarterly newsletter.
Mm-hmm. 2,500. And Annalie, how long have you been with the group? Are you officially with the group? Or?
Yes, I'm a member, and I have been a member for less than a year. I'm not sure exactly which month I joined, so I'm sort of the new kid on the block.
So, as I understand it, though, there's not an official OLAC chapter in Minneapolis.
No, there isn't as of this moment, but I think one can expect there will be soon.
Mm-hmm. You all have been in town for a couple of days now, right? And there are others of OLAC, the coordinating committee here. Who else is in town right now?
Chevy Healy, Ruth Silver, Art Nevermeyers, and Charlotte Avery, and Vera Martin, mm-hmm. which is me. Right. And we all got here on Thursday.
Thursday. Mm-hmm. And you've been really busy. Did a workshop on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
There's a we'll get to the talking about the specifically about the conference later. But you did a workshop on
ageism
on Saturday with mm-hmm. the local organizing committee in town.
Right.
And Chevy, while I'm thinking about it, we should remember to mention that Chevy is going to be reading at Amazon on Monday evening at 7 o'clock from an article that she's written. It's called RVing Begins at 70,
mm-hmm.
I think is the name of the piece, and she'll be there. Will you all be there also?
So? Oh, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. One of the things that I remember about OLAC is that your membership is for lesbians who are 60 or older. Could you talk a little bit about why that decision, what that decision's about?
During the first West Coast celebration, which was highly motivated by a book written by Barbara McDonald called Look Me in the Eye. They labored intensely at that celebration and prior to that celebration when they were planning it, that 60 was definitely going to be the cutoff. And there were a number of reasons for that. At 60, there just was not a place for lesbians in the general lesbian community. And they felt they needed a place. They needed a place where they could talk about things that were really important to them at that time of life. And some of those important things were, am I going to have enough money to take me through the rest of my journey? Where am I going to live? Am I going to have adequate health care? Who's going to provide that care for me? And things of that sort. And I want to feel welcome when I walk in someplace. I don't want to feel like I'm intruding. I don't want to be made to feel that I'm invisible because I walk into a bar or some other social place and there's nobody there that's 60 except me.
What, I think that there may be some listeners who are thinking, well, ageism in the lesbian community, what is that? And it doesn't exist, really, because I like all lesbians, and so it doesn't, you know. Can you talk a little, I mean, you kind of touched on that in what you were just saying, Vera, about the 60 cutoff for OLAC, and I'm just wondering if any of you can talk about what ageism means for you in the lesbian community. How do you experience that, and what specifically are you talking about?
Well, we're talking about the fact, first of all, that most old lesbians are invisible because of isolation, more than anything. And when they do appear, they become an item of curiosity. And then the major interest is hearing a story. And once the story is heard, then the person again becomes invisible. And becoming a part of the community, an active participating part, it becomes very, very difficult. We have an old lesbian group in Houston called LOAF, Lesbians Over Age 50. And we have at any given time about 100 women between 50 and 80 that are active. And for many years we have had what is called Second Tuesday dancing at one of the women's bars, a country bar, country western bar. And on two different occasions when we were there, we overheard young women remarking, what do those women think they're doing? Why don't they go home and go to bed? Mm. And so it's this kind of attitude that we have no place there, And so this is part of what we are about, that we do have a place, and what we're trying to do is find our voice.
We'll get to the conference. I think what we'll do is we'll take a little music break here, and then we'll come back and talk some more about the conference in particular that's coming up. And if the listeners have any questions that you specifically want to ask, why don't you call in here to the studio? The number is 341-0980, and you can call while we're playing the music. 341-0980. And we're talking with members of the Old Lesbians Organizing for Change, OLOC.
Being over the hill and being useless and being invisible. And so euphemisms have become the accepted. We have seniors and we have elders and we have older. But we never use the word old. And part of what we are about is reclaiming the word old as the gay and lesbian or the lesbian community has reclaimed the word dyke. And it is a thing of pride and a thing of empowerment, not a thing of denigration.
Do you think that people don't use the word old because it reminds them of the process, or is it because there's just been so much shame attached to it? Or
yes. The word old scares people half to death. Mm-hmm. We have had a great deal of work to do in the educational process to get lesbians that are 60 and over to become comfortable with the word old. Mm-hmm. And the younger lesbians are very fearful because they feel like they're saying something that's insulting to us. I had a young woman tell me today, why are you using that word old? I have a friend in San Francisco who's 82 and she doesn't call herself old. Don't you understand that old is just in your head? Mm-hmm. My answer to that is, this biological body that I live in has been on this planet for 73 years. That's a long time, and that's old. Mm-hmm. I can feel however I choose in my head about my energy, about my desires, about my adventures, and about my activities. That does not change how many years I've been here.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to say something about how...
I'm 68, and I went to the workshop on ageism that was done yesterday, and one of the things that struck me and made me really eager to claim the word old was some discussion that Chevy had in particular around the greeting cards that are used at birthday time. And what struck me, I knew we had a lot of greeting cards for old people that make fun of the process of aging. But what struck me and just really amazed me, it's crept in without my awareness, was the number of cards for people turning 30 or 35 or 40 that denigrate their aging process and that really set you up for seeing this as a negative thing. And I was shocked to realize how early society is beginning to program people about how they will feel much later in life. And I hear these young people, I was at a party where someone said, on approaching her 30th birthday, I don't want to be 30. And I turned around and looked at her and I said, well, of course you do. I mean, you know, the alternative. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that having... and already an attitude about growing old as negative seems to me just really a shame. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much to life, and growing old is something you do. If you don't grow old, you're in really serious trouble.
Mm-hmm. Right. Arden, did you want to say also how old you are?
Oh, I'm 65.
65.
Uh-huh.
And for the listeners, just to know that I'm 41, I think that's something that women don't do very much, is that we mm-hmm. don't really say what our age is, that mm-hmm. we've been, you know, taught to say that we're 29 for 30 years or whatever, you know.
But that's part of the denigration, right. You see.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Vera, when we were playing the music, you were talking about why it's so difficult for old lesbians to come out.
For lesbians that are now 60 years and older, some of whom are still in the workforce, some of whom are still very attached to families, and they've kept this terrible, terrible secret all these years because they didn't want to end up in a mental institution. They didn't want to have lobotomies. They didn't want to lose their jobs. They didn't want to lose their family members. There were just many things that they felt that they had to lose. And when you've lived 40 or 45 years of your life with that kind of fear, feeling that you have to keep that kind of a secret, it's awfully hard at this time in your life to come out and be counted. And we keep encouraging them to do that. It is such a moment of freedom to come out and be who you are, be happy about who you are, and be comfortable with who you are. I'm 73 years old. I was married as a very young person, had two children, got a divorce, stayed by myself about 6 years, made an effort to come out, and I got threatened with losing custody of my children, so I ran hurriedly back into the closet. But I came out again when my son was in his second year in college. I felt I'd paid my dues. The last child was in college, and I felt at that time was quite capable of continuing his education, and that I had just earned the right to do whatever I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And it was an absolutely freeing experience, and I have enjoyed every moment of it.
So how old were you then when you came out?
I was 52.
Wow.
And how old? I'm now 73.
Wow. It's really, you know, I love listening to Dyke's coming out stories. I think it's really a lot of fun. And coming out now is so much different than it was even 10 years ago. So it's always, I think it's very interesting to hear when lesbians actually came out. So I'm going to ask, what ages were you both when you came out?
Well, I came out in the 40s when I was in college. And it was at a time when we didn't have a vocabulary and we didn't have resources and we didn't have literature and we didn't have people or places to go to and find other people like us. So my being always out of step and other didn't fall into place until I got into college. And that's when I had a name and finally knew what it was and why it was. So that was back in the 40s. It's a long time. I'm a lifelong lesbian.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah. I feel blessed.
Yeah. And how about you, Annalie?
Well, I'm a lifelong lesbian also, although I didn't know that's what I was for quite a long time. I was in a 20-year closeted relationship between 1957 and 77. We didn't know any other lesbian couple in that whole 20 years. We knew a couple people we suspected, but we didn't even know the use of the word lesbian. We didn't call ourselves lesbian. We had no awareness of a community. When we separated in 77, I began to discover a whole community out there that I wanted to be part of. So I came out, and at that time I was 50 years of age.
Wow, so you'd been a lifelong lesbian, but you didn't actually come out politically
That's right.
until you were 50?
Right. I started out of the closet, and as we all know, that coming out is a process. Mm. I'm now at the point where, you know, I've sort of kicked down that closet door. I've been interviewed in newspaper and the Star Trib and a whole lot of different things, and so I don't know that I have a closet anywhere at this point.
And for those of you who may have attended Dyke Night, Annalie was one of the women who was interviewed as part of that movie, which I unfortunately didn't get to see because I waited too late to get my tickets for Dyke Night, so I'm just dying to see this movie that I haven't seen yet. So
another thing that is sometimes stereotypical of lesbians is promiscuity. I was in a relationship for 33 years, and my life partner died 11 years ago. So, and we were closeted in the sense that I was in public school work, and if I had ever been discovered, I'd never had another job. So it wasn't until after her death 11 years ago that I did my second coming out, so to speak. And when I found community and I found bookstores and I found music and I found organizations, and so it was the beginning of a whole different kind of life for me, and I was in my mid-50s when that happened.
Mm-hmm. What do you find the hardest thing about being in a lesbian community right now at this particular age in your life? Or what's the hardest thing and what's the easiest thing, I guess, or the most joyful thing?
Well, the most joyful thing is community. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have a wonderful, strong, very large community in Houston. And of course, that's just been heaven, you know, these last few years for me.
Mm. One of the most joyful things in my life since I came out politically, especially, is that I've been an activist with the lesbian and gay community. I've belonged to most of the popular, well-known organizations for gays and lesbians. And I've attended conferences, several, three or four each year. And that has really been a joy for me. The other thing is being involved in rap sessions. I was involved with an agency in Los Angeles some years ago called Conexus, and it was an agency with all kinds of services for women. When they hit town, they called Conexus to see where the bars were and where to find a job and where to find housing and all that sort of thing. Then I conducted rap sessions for categories of women and found that when we had those rap sessions, if an old lesbian was talking, and sometimes the age was very wide, the young ones would say, well, why did you take that? Well, why did you do that? Well, why didn't you do this? Well, why didn't you do that? It was very, very difficult for the young lesbians to understand that it was a different time and the rules were totally different. And you didn't have the freedom to take immediate action on any issue. You really had to soft pedal it and make sure you were on solid ground.
The times have really, the years have really, one of the things that was important for me is I also attended the Ageism workshop yesterday, and one of the things I learned was a saying that I guess was borrowed from disability rights activists was,
Nothing about us without us.
Thank you for reminding me of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that what I learned about that was is that you know, very often that, you know, old lesbians become convenient to us if we want, you know, somebody on a panel, or if we want to, you know, talk about the 50s, or if we want, you know, talk about butch femme relationships in the 40s or the 50s or the 60s or whatever. So I found that was very important for me to remember that, you know, old lesbians are in our lives all the time in our community, and that we need not, you know, continually invisibilize any lesbian, but, you know, in particular old lesbians too. So I think what we're going to do is take a little music break here, and then we'll come back and talk about the conference that's coming up, because there's this incredible conference that's going to be happening here at the end of the week, and so we're going to go talk about some details about that. So we'll be right back after we hear from whoever I have queued up, which I don't remember who that is, so...